you want to be happy today? The Bible says that a happy person finds wisdom and gets understanding. But it warns us that wisdom of this world is foolishness in God's sight. But the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Elizabeth Elliot has spent decades helping women understand the wisdom of the Bible. Welcome to Gateway to Joy. Be challenged to live wisely as you hear once again from your friend, Elizabeth Elliot.
Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not to your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He will direct your paths. This is your friend Elizabeth Elliot, continuing my talks on the Gospel of Mark, stories of Jesus in the Gospel of Mark. But before I begin, I need to correct an error that I am guilty of having been perpetrating for years. I had a letter from Bernard R. DeRemer of West Liberty, Ohio. He says, I am enjoying very much your series on hymns, but if I may be so bold, I have somewhat against thee. I am amazed that you perpetuate the myth of why George Matheson wrote, O Love That Will Not Let Me Go. Welcome to the club. I did the same thing myself in an article years ago. Not until long afterward did I discover Dr. Wiersbe's Listening to the Giants. Now, those of you who have heard of or listened to Back to the Bible for many years certainly know who Warren Wiersbe is. He was the man that you heard on Back to the Bible for many years, and I certainly respect him and his authority. And in his book, Listening to the Giants, this is what he says. Matheson began to go blind at 18 months, and he was never engaged. I have never been in love, he once told his friend Mackenzie Bell. And this man goes on, the writer of this letter to me tells me that Decision Magazine also reports the Matheson story as apocryphal and persistent. D.L. Moody remarked that falsehood can circle the globe while truth is getting its boots on. Many times I have told the story of how I believed that George Matheson had written his hymn, O Love That Will Not Let Me Go, after his fiancée broke their engagement because Matheson had gone blind. Well, obviously, if Matheson went blind when he was 18 months old and was never engaged, the story can't be true. But let's try to always tell the truth. And if I'm corrected about something, then I do need to let my listeners know about the correction. So there we are. Here we are in Mark 5, a story about a dead girl and a sick woman. Another story of healing. What a wonderful subject, but it's a dangerous one. So let's see what the Bible says here. When Jesus had crossed again in the boat, this is after he had healed the demon-possessed man, a great crowd collected around him as he stood on the shore, and a man came called Jairus, one of the synagogue presidents, and when he saw Jesus, he knelt before him, pleading desperately for his help. My little girl is dying, he said. Will you come and put your hands on her? Then she will get better and live. Jesus went off with him, followed by a large crowd jostling at his elbow. Among them was a woman who had had a hemorrhage for 12 years and who had gone through a great deal at the hands of many doctors, spending all her money in the process. She had derived no benefit from them, but on the contrary was getting worse. This woman had heard about Jesus and came up behind him under cover of the crowd and touched his cloak. For if I can only touch his clothes, she kept saying, I shall be all right. The hemorrhage stopped immediately, and she knew in herself that she was cured of her trouble. At once Jesus knew intuitively that power had gone out of him, and he turned round in the middle of the crowd and said, Who touched my clothes? His disciples replied, You can see this crowd jostling you. How can you ask, Who touched me? But he looked all around at their faces to see who had done so. Can't you just picture Jesus stopping, looking around at this throng of people, face after face, studying it? And then the woman, scared and shaking all over because she knew that she was the one to whom this thing had happened, came and flung herself before him and told him the whole story. But he said to her, Daughter, it is your faith that has healed you. Go home in peace and be free from your trouble. You can just imagine the embarrassment of this woman. It was a very awkward, very personal, intimate problem. She was desperate enough to think nothing about the crowd. No doctor had ever been able to help her. Her money was gone. She was penniless, helpless, suffering. And in her humility and her desire not to be too noticeable, she came up behind him, believing that if she could just touch his cloak, that that would be enough. And her faith, Jesus said, was honored. Jesus was unaware of who she was or what her problem was at the moment, but he knew it had cost him something. He perceived that virtue had gone out of him. And now she's afraid. Had she overstepped her bounds? Had she insulted him? She could have run, but instead of that, she fell at his feet and told him the whole truth. Do we flee sometimes from Jesus, foolishly imagining that he won't notice the sin or that he is not aware of the thoughts of our hearts? He knows our thoughts before we think them. He can read us like a book. He says, "Daughter, it is your faith that has healed you." Now, I said that this story of healing is a dangerous one because it's very easy for us to latch on to something rather determined that God has got to do for me what he did for that person. And it's not always his plan to do things in the same way. You know, there's a song that used to be popular that said, "What he's done for others, he will do for you." I'm not sure that's true. I think we can say what he's done for others, he could do for you, but we don't know that that's what he wants to do. So let's be very careful how we use this word, your faith has healed you. Faith is what? It's obedience to God. It is attentive submission. In this case, the attentive submission of a finite woman to the reality of her Creator and Lord. An obedient acceptance of the incomprehensible reality of God. Now, this woman certainly had no question about Jesus' power or about his love. She came to him in simple trust, and she learned a simple lesson. She didn't need any other. And so Jesus could say to her, "Go home in peace and be free from your trouble." And while he was still speaking, the story goes on, messengers arrived from the synagogue president's house, saying, "Your daughter is dead. There's no need to bother the master any further." But when Jesus heard this, he said, "Now don't be afraid, just go on believing." Then he allowed no one to follow him except Peter and James and John, James's brother. And they arrived at the president's house, and Jesus noticed the hubbub and all the weeping and wailing, and as he went in, he said to the people in the house, "Why are you making such a noise with your crying? The child is not dead. She's fast asleep." They greeted this with a scornful laugh. But Jesus turned them all out, and taking only the father and mother and his own companions with him, he went into the room where the child was, took the little girl's hand, and said to her in Aramaic, "Little girl, I tell you to get up." At once she jumped to her feet and walked around the room, for she was 12 years old. This sight sent the others nearly out of their minds with joy. But Jesus gave them strict instructions not to let anyone know what had happened, and ordered food to be given to the little girl. Now, why did he give orders not to tell? I think possibly because he knew that miracles would be demanded by people who would neither honor his father or believe in him. And we do find exactly that happening later on. He did not want people demanding miracles unless they were people who would honor his father and believe in him. There are those listening to me today, I'm sure, who long for healing, instant and complete, such as we read in these wonderful stories in the Gospel of Mark. it could be God's will to perform that kind of a miracle on you. It is more likely in this day and age that it's God's will for you to learn conformity to His cross. Surrender to the will of God, the joy that is unspeakable, and the peace that passes understanding. If He cured you, you would have one kind of peace. If He doesn't cure you, but gives you instead that all-sufficient grace and His own peace, which was His last gift to His disciples, this may be a far greater miracle. And that seems to be the kind of miracle that God wants to do more often than not in this day and age. And so I encourage you to trust the will of this one who has authority over all kinds of evil, over Satan himself, over wind and waves, over sickness, but this one who is also wise and who loves you and me and knows what's best.
You've been listening to Gateway to Joy with Elizabeth Elliott, author of over 20 books, including Discipline, The Glad Surrender, and No Graven Image. Join us next time for more encouragement and challenge from Elizabeth Elliott. This has been a production of the Bible Broadcasting Network.